this is a word and desire you've expressed, you know, saying, like, how can I switch off? How can I switch off?
Yeah.
Many people who will listen will say, yes, please, please, I want this too.
Welcome to the inner space. This is for you if you need encouragement to be more yourself and explore your own path. Maybe because you feel different, too sensitive, or just not able to do things as everyone else seems to. There is a way, and it's your unique way. I'm Gloria Jansen. I am a coach, a healing artist, and a surfer. I am here to help you ride the waves of life, work, and business to find that deeper alignment with your creative and sensitive soul. If this feels like you, I invite you to know yourself better, feel all the emotions, and trust yourself, so you experience the freedom and fulfillment of being and doing you. Subscribe now to catch the next wave to the inner space, where authenticity sets you free. Welcome into this new coaching episode where I support Cécile, who came in asking, how do I switch off my brain? This is a way of phrasing and also the example she's going to give that I'm sure will resonate with many of you. And this is a recurring question that many gifted people also ask themselves when you have an intense mind that creates so many scenarios that can be wonderful when it supports you. But, you know, as the coin, it has two facets, and this same machine and power can serve and not serve you when it's more in the negative aspect. And these are the moments when it starts to feel overwhelming, that you're like, how can I stop my brain? This is just too much. And I give many tips and examples to support her and, of course, to support you as well. So this episode is not so much about a professional topic as it might be in other episodes, though I address it because that can be also impacting your relationships. And when I say relationship, it's also broader, how you feel in an environment. And as usual, I also weave into the session not only giftedness topic, but also human design. Cécile is a generator, profile 6-2, sacral generator. As you will discover in the session, she has many centers which are open in her design. If you don't know about human design, don't worry, she doesn't know too, so I will explain a bit more through the session. I love to introduce it at the beginning because if you want to create your own profile, you can see how it resonates with your own design. Especially if I make it very simple, you look at your profile, so you just type in free human design profile, it will generate a chart that you don't understand. That's normal, you need to be trying to understand as I am. And if you see many of the shapes, it can be a triangle, square on your profile. If you see many of them are white and some have color in it, depending on the, you know, on the tools, sometimes it's blue, red, orange. It doesn't matter the color, at least for now. If you have many centers which are white, you might resonate with the experience Cécile is describing in everything she receives from the outside. I don't tell you more, so you're curious to listen, and I see you back in the conclusion. Enjoy this episode. I hope it serves you best. As every coaching session, I would love to hear what brings you to this coaching session.
Oh, thank you. I'm so happy to have the opportunity. What I would really, really like to discuss with you today is, maybe I need a bit of clarity in the way I'm expressing it, but I'd like to find some support or comfort maybe in, how shall I put it? Sorry, it's difficult for me to express it. I love my brain. Let's start with this. If there's one thing in my body that I love most, there's anything you should single out, it's my brain. And I'm very grateful. And so I don't want this to sound ungrateful. But sometimes I have the impression my brain connects so much and has so much connections going on and connecting all the dots all the time that I literally have scarce moments for serenity. So even if I do meditation or whatever, et cetera, and I guess What I found very intriguing when I read about you was the support, maybe with neuroatypical, do you say that in English? People, how to get along with this, that I sometimes, you know, it's not as if I had a button where I could switch off my brain. So I'm going to try and focus all my energy on saying, switch off, don't think, stop thinking or stop these thoughts. And my brain will just continue. And sometimes it's really exhausting, you know. So I'm sorry. I don't know if that makes sense.
It makes complete sense. And don't worry, I will always ask you questions when something is not clear for me or I need more information. I already have a question for you. So your intention and your desire would be to find a way to find serenity, peace, or slow down your brain. Is that how you would phrase it?
It's really kind of having a switch off button. So, you know, especially when there are thoughts that are troubling me or when my brain keeps on connecting. I don't want this to sound arrogant, but I see a lot of things. I see a lot of connections. And I kind of sometimes have the impression I'm in some kind of different hemisphere, if that makes sense. And I just can't stop the thoughts, you know. So then sometimes when I have sleepless nights, there's different stuff which is going to come. Or I'll give you an example. When you're driving, I can't stop my brain from seeing all the different scenarios that can happen, which does make sense for driving security, but sometimes it's just overwhelming and I just like my brain to switch off. I tried to give you a simple example, but obviously that happens all the time and for all the topics. It's super stressful. So I'd like, basically, I know when the overwhelm is coming. Okay, so taking again the example of the driving to make it more simple and not all the crazy other topics that are going on. You're driving and then I'm seeing all the scenarios. I'm seeing like even on the other lane. So from the opposite side, and okay, we don't have as big lanes as America, but they're big enough. I'm even seeing literally, okay, what's going to happen here on the other hand side. And I'm just thinking like, stop it, focus and just, you know, I remember a friend at some point when I was pregnant, she said, stop having these thoughts and just see it as clouds. And there's a cloud that comes here and that goes away. And I just can't do that. My brain doesn't want to. And I just, you know, I control a lot of things and I think very much controlled, but this I just can't control.
How often does that overwhelming sensation happen for you? Is it like daily?
Yeah.
Okay. And is it like, what are the topics where it's most triggered, or topics or situations? When does it happen most? Is it when you're in interaction with other people, with the outside world, when you are at home, when you watch something?
So let's say the thing is where it's an issue for me is when it's linked to negative elements. So when I'm in interaction with people, I'm quite happy. And that's what I mean. I'm really happy that my brain connects so much things and that, you should speak to them and blah, and et cetera. And I think that's why I'm pretty good also at my job. I think that's good. I'm not a magician, but I can predict because it's patterns, if you want. I'm grateful for it, but it's just, I'm exhausted with driving more than a regular person. I guess it's, how do you cope with it, right? And it's all the more stressful when it comes at night, because one of the big topics or the big dark topic is obviously security for my children. And when I see everything and, you know, it's the point, so I don't have a TV and I try to protect myself as much as possible. With social media, there's only one that I use a lot, and it has to do with my profession. But given these algorithms and the algorithms are trained to show us stuff, I try and take it all out, because otherwise I know my brain will be working on it, working on it, working on it, working on it, seeing things, etc. And all these little signals, and it's not only my brain, but the whole, I always say all the channels are open, and it's difficult to cope with.
Do you know about the giftedness topic? Have you ever heard, dig deeper? Okay. So like, I have many resources on my website. I can send you also later links you might want to look into, because part of the descriptions you are sharing is something that gifted people experience. Exactly what you say, the way you are talking, like seeing the patterns and then like seeing the consequences, seeing much more than the
neurotypical person, so you get much more signal that comes to you and that you have to process than another person, and that can be tiring. So that's one topic. What I wondered is, as I heard you, is how much are you connected to your body in these moments? You can imagine all the signals coming to your brain, and then you're trying to process them. And in that moment, are there techniques you use or habits you've implemented where you can connect to your body?
I really like anchoring. Obviously, when I'm driving, that's a bit of a bummer because my anchor is here. So I use it professionally. So it's true, it's a good idea. I could try use it maybe at night when I get these thoughts and then I can't sleep and it's like triggering the negative spiral. I could try. That's a good idea.
To give you a specific example, and like I've worked with many gifted people, and the thing for which people come to me a lot consciously or unconsciously is being more connected to their body. Because when you have a very smart brain, a very intense that figures out things quickly, that sees a lot, that has, there is this excitement, as you said, of, oh, you can do this, you can do that, making the connections and things go fast, it's stimulating, it's challenging, it's interesting.
Love that. And then I love that.
Exactly. And then the challenge is, of course, there is, as a coin, there are the two facets. The same machine, if I say so, the brain can serve in its same intensity for other things, serve or not serve. It's like, oh, it can be used maybe without me wanting it to see something and then amplify, and then the story gets bigger, and then you are like, okay, if that happens, and when you talk about security, you have children, like as a mom, it's very quickly you can start thinking if that happened and this, and then you are super alert because consciously and unconsciously you are like, okay, that's how I will manage and maybe control and avoid things to happen. So the same machine and its power gets turned on to do that. So that's the challenging part, and how I support most people I work with, and that helps them the most, is how can I be connected to the body? And it's not something I do like once it's done, it's a constant work. And to give you the specific example I had is, okay, I'm driving, and because I hear you, I can really imagine all the energy being around the brain, like all the intensity, everything is around the brain. And it's like, okay, what if I go back to my hands holding, the wheel? I'm like, okay, I'm driving. How do I feel? I don't know. Is it plastic? Is it whatever is the material? How does it feel? Okay, is it warm? Is it cold? How are my legs? Now I'm visualizing, as I show you, how am I sitting? Something I do constantly is I'm constantly checking how is my posture? Are my shoulders relaxed? How is my mouth? Where is my tongue? And it's something not like, oh, I have to. It's just when I can, sometimes I'm like, ah. And as I am talking, it's like, am I breathing? Just very small checks. And I know for sometimes for gifted people, it's like, oh, this is boring, or, but this is the kind of stuff that helps you to go back to your body. And I always like to say, start with every contact point. So that's why I said with your hands as you are driving, how you are sitting, like my legs, my butt, my back, so that you can bring yourself back a bit more in the present, instead of all the scenarios.
It's true with breathing. I know about it. I even teach it. So this is a good one. I'll give you another example. Childbirth was a nightmare for me, an absolute nightmare. And at the point where, and this is where we found out that I was probably in the gifted people category because I never had thought about it, to be honest. It opened quite some doors since then. So it's been like 6, 7 years where we started opening these doors, not too much, because I don't want to be overwhelmed. But we realize it because the first childbirth, I lived so intensely in a very negative, really traumatic manner. And so the third one, we did a C-section because this is going exactly in that direction. I was like, I just can't do this. I would have liked to have this. all these people who do it naturally, go with the flow, don't think about it. I just can't. It's like, it's not possible.
Can you tell me more about this example? Because that's a very interesting example, because giving birth, it's such a physical act.
Yeah. Everyone was saying, "Ah, you're going to see, it's going to be okay, it's natural and blah, blah, nothing, nothing." So what happened with the first one is, so, okay, it was very stressful as well, because the first one, so she's inherited that part of me, I guess, because she really wanted to come out and she came out a month earlier. I didn't want to do any of these child courses and whatever. I guess I didn't have any patience for it. I didn't want to hear the other questions. I didn't want to let myself stress from other parents asking their questions. And, you know, I remember everything. That's why we started looking into gifted people, the way you call it, because I have very precise memories of everything that happened. So they first let the child the opportunity to come. So then came the contractions. And then literally the people would just not believe me. And I told them, "I'm really in pain. I need more stuff. I want this now." And they just wouldn't believe me. And I found that really difficult. That's also a thing which I struggle with, is a lot of the time people don't believe me. And I'm like, I swear, I can tell you, I'm not inventing this. Or having difficulties also with, I'm guessing, you know, it's stuff you see every day. But for me, it's kind of the first time I'm even speaking about it. Because there's not many people you can speak about this. And they just didn't believe me and they didn't give me anything. And they just gave me like a stupid paracetamol. And I was like, I know myself. And I'm hypersensitive to, how do you call it?
The pain?
Yeah, to pain. I'm hypersensitive to pain. And this has been, I've only understood why since after the birth. I spoke with this midwife who's also happens to be gifted and spotted it and opened some doors for me. But I just can't do anything about it. I just feel things more than, let's say, regular people. And it's not something I can do anything about it. So pain is for me true pain. And that's just the way it is. And they just didn't want to believe me in the hospital. They wouldn't help. They didn't want to give me any painkillers or anything. And then they came with gas to make you laugh.
Yeah.
They're like, "This is going to help." And I told them, "It's not going to help. I know it," but they forced it on me. And I hyperventilated. And that's only when they started believing me. So because they were afraid of losing me and then the child. And I told them, and I said, "Know how my body, I listen a lot to my body, and my body tells me a lot of things. And I know I've done my experiences in the past where I know the limits, and I knew this was not going to go well. I just knew it, and I knew there was no way of regulating. I just knew it." So, and that happened inevitably. And then they transferred me to the birth room, or however you would call it. And there started the rest of the nightmare. They were like, you know, pushing. I was like, "Of course I'm pushing." And they tried everything. And then the doctor came and he really pushed with his elbow on my stomach. They finally gave me something, but I found out later on it wasn't an anesthetist who put it in my spine. It hadn't been done really. So I had the whole package, the whole caboodle. And of course I had to be sewn afterwards. It was, everything was a pain. And they only realized, and I heard them. I'm not stupid. And this is the thing, I was so present. I could hear them even saying, "Oh, wow, if you're feeling, I'll show you," then the thing didn't work. And you're like, "Well, yeah, I told you." But no one wanted to believe me. It was a trauma. This is why I spoke with the midwife for my second child, who is a gifted person and knows about this and whom we spoke about. And we had a plan for child number two. So it went, I'll say, less worse, even if this isn't English, but this was still not optimal. And that's why for the last one, I said, "You know what? I'm going to go through a C-section. I don't care." And to be honest, I'm grateful that nothing bad happened. And I was very lucky that there was no complications, but it was a walk in the park. I adored it. Of course, afterwards, I was in terrible pain. So given that I feel pain more than others, it was terrible pain. But I enjoyed the birth. I could enjoy my child when the third one came. But this is something my body just remembers this. It might sound completely crazy, but
absolutely not. Like,
body and mind work together. That's always what I always say in my sessions. And And the body remembers.
Oh, yes, that's for sure.
Sorry, big opening of a big chapter.
I'm so sorry for what you went through. That's a topic that, since I gave birth myself, prepared for birth, listened to many births, sorry, I went through my own birth for my son, like my own birth, me myself as a child also is a story in itself. So I am very sensitive to that topic in the sense of, like, it drives me crazy, all these stories of so many women, you know, who say, who know, who are in the body, who are connected to the child, but exactly as with your story, either they don't believe, and I know, like, my big belief is the woman is the one who knows the best because she's in her body and she's connected to the baby. So that's a big belief I have. And exactly your story, as all the different stories I've heard, drive me crazy. So such a disempowerment and giving much more power to expertise from the doctor. And yes, they've learned, and yes, they have knowledge, and yes, this is useful. But being so disconnected from your own connection to your body and moving actually only with your outsider understanding. So I'm fully with you in that. And my question is, have you ever worked on an energetical level, like healing level, with that story, with what you went through?
So I'm not quite sure what you mean with energetical level.
Yeah, so through this experience and the trauma that has been created two times, and I would say even the third time, but afterwards and very differently, but it was more accepted for you and easy to integrate because it was your decision. You know, it was like, I did it, I know why, and the experience was different, and I'm happy I did it. You know, so it's, you could handle the pain in a different way. But the two first one has really left a trauma in your body. And when I say on an energetical level, is your body. You know, around your body, you have also your aura. I say, you know, maybe, I don't know how much you believe it or not, but when I'm connected with people, you have to imagine I feel what's going on in their body. I receive sentences from their energy field, or words or images. Like, I talk with this more subtle level around you. And this is where things are stored. And it can be memories that are still impacting how you feel consciously and unconsciously, either gravitating around you or slowing you down, or they have an impact. And if I simplify, my question is, like, how do you feel with this experience you've had? And do you feel you are at peace, is maybe a big word, but going towards that?
I absolutely do. Again, what massively helped me is to get to know this midwife. She's amazing, really. You know, when you say sometimes in life people leave an imprint, this woman is one of the people who marked my life also because she opened these doors, enabled me to have some tests done for my first one, which otherwise maybe I would not have done. And to be able to be the best support for her. To be honest, the children, it's the biggest gift you can have. So I think that's also a healing that, you know, you're so grateful that you're like, well, of course, you know, I know what it costs. Let's not say it's in the past. You know, I'm an eternal optimist. Thank goodness, I would say, when I see everything that's happening today.
What made you bring up the story around your birth? Like, is there, because from what you said, you do not need support around healing it, or like, do you want any support around that, or that was more just as an example?
It was more as an example because this is another moment where, of course, my brain. So, exactly this, where I would have maybe wished that, let's talk about birth number one, maybe it would have helped if my brain would just have been able to switch off. You know, there would have been a switch off. I'm like, just don't think, go with the flow, you know, as everyone tells you. And I mean, that's the same for driving. It was like, ah, go with the flow. Everyone can drive, everyone can do this. And I'm like, no, I just can't. You know, this is like these things that are normal for normal people. I don't know. I don't have the impression I'm overthinking it. It's just all this stuff is coming to me and I'm processing it. And I can't go with the flow.
I will come back to what you just said, and I also wanted to add because you know I've created your human design chart based on your birth information, and I show it to you before you have in human design. It's a bit like chakras, if you know about it. You have different centers, and each center is a center of energy, and it has two options. Either it's mostly receiving, either it's emitting. If I make it very simple, you are producing the energy and you are stable because you are the producer. So you have access. It's almost like you have a glass of water and you have the bottle of water, so you can refill all the time because it's your energy. As long as you are taking care of yourself, of your body and so on, you are producing the energy. And then there are the centers where you are more receiving. So it's a bit more like the glass is empty, or sometimes it has a liquid in from you, sometimes it has more liquid from the other people. So that's the image. And there are many centers, as you've seen on your chart. And mostly your centers are open. So it means you are all the time receiving from the outside. In total, you have nine centers. Everyone has nine centers. And you have two, which are, they are called define, where you produce the energy, where you create the energy. So you have to imagine seven are in receiving mode.
Okay.
So
That
that
explains
means
a lot of the exhaustion.
because you don't know yet how to handle it. So that's where I will give you a tip around that. But it's already important for you to be aware of the fact that you receive a lot and you are already aware, but I tell you like from the design perspective. And the two centers that are where you are producing the energy are your vital force, like your life force energy. It's called the sacral center. And that I know you can feel it because you came even just to me and said, oh, I need to do things and like I need to move. You have this vitality, you know, and it's connected to one of your centers, which is called the identity center or G center. And you don't have to remember the names. And that's the center that tells you, like, who am I? It's also about direction, like who am I, what's my path, and it's also about self-love. Like it has different aspects, and this one is defined, so it means in your highest expression. Like if you are experiencing them in the highest expression, it means you are someone who you have the energy to do what is you and to implement and do the things so that you are on your path. And I can feel it, I sense it. When you talk about work, I can really imagine all that energy serving you. To guide you. And I feel that you are aligned on that level. And then of course you challenge me if it's not the case, but I feel that there is clarity there. And then the other centers which are open, it's not that it's better or bad, because you described it as well at the beginning of the call. It's where you receive more from the outside. So it means that serves you at work because you are receiving all the, you know, you are talking with someone and then suddenly you have a perception, you feel how the person feels, you have an intuition, like you receive the information from the other person and you work with that to support, help other people. And all of that works wonderfully at work because you are using your way of operating, your design to serve and have fun as well for you. So all of that is great. But then in the other moments where you are receiving without wanting to receive, that's where you're like, I don't want all of this. What do I do with that? And so that's to put words on the experience you might be having. First question I invite you to ask yourself often is, and that's for every center that is open or white on our design, is asking yourself, does it belong to me or to someone else? Like, does this belong to me? And to make it very specific, if you feel an emotion, you know, you come into a room or you can be buying the bread and suddenly you feel something, like, is that my emotion or is it someone else's? And that's the gift of all our centers that are open is yes, we receive, but if we work consciously with what we receive, we can as fast release it. So it's like, okay, I receive it, passes through me, like it can be like a tube or a channel. It's like, okay, it goes through me and I let it go. It goes through me and I let it go. It goes through me and I let it go. And with emotions, I love to, because I do a lot of work around emotions, I love to say that is, I enter the room, I feel this person is so angry. Is it mine? No. So I don't have to do anything with it. Like, it's not because I feel that I'm responsible to take care of the other person's emotion, especially because when you feel everything, you're like, oh, if I can help this person feel better, I will feel better, you know? So it's about, okay, I come back by this question, through this question of, does this belong to me? I am able to come back to my own center and let it go back to where it came from. And the more you practice this, the easier you will let things go through you, but leave you also as well. Also, like in terms of thinking, all the thoughts you might be having, like, is that me thinking that? Like, where does it come from? Especially, it's good you already have the practice of not, for example, watching TV or things that create anxiety. That's great. But if it would happen and you read something, now this is kind of polluting my mind. Is that my problem? Is that my thinking? Okay, can I let it go? It's not mine. You can have the image, you know, on the computer, you have the different folders and you can put it into the bin, you know, or in the folder of others.
I like that. That's a nice image.
Yeah, and consciously put it back out of you and where it belongs, by kind of sending it back or releasing it. And that happens because you are aware, because you are present to what you're experiencing. So that's the thing I've for sure wanted to add about your design. How does it feel when you hear that for you?
It's relieving because it means that I'm not crazy. It means that I'm not alone. So, just that's pretty much a relief. And it helps when words are put. So, especially what you said with the two emitting, and it's true what you're saying. Well, it's how I feel it, but the seven receiving, that's exactly it. It makes sense also what you said with does it belong to me? Sorting out your emotions. I think this is something I really need to be working on because it sounds very easy, but I've also been educated in, well, I'm very spiritual, and you will try to be there for others and support others as well. And so when you say, does it belong to me? Well, so the example with the colère is great, but if it would be someone who's very sad, well, it's part of me and my education and who I am to go comfort this person. And does it belong to me? Well, no, but am I responsible for them? No, but for me, this is just being a human. So I think this is a little bit of a gray zone, probably, but definitely with people being in a bad mood. And there, I had a flashback as well to meetings at the time when I was in corporate. And yeah, well, I would take everything and for me, take over the responsibility to women tend to do that in senior management meetings to kind of like have the atmosphere better because otherwise you can't get in a constructive atmosphere. So I do understand what you're saying. I think it's good to try and, okay, they have to deal with it. I guess I'd have to work a little bit more on that, understand a bit more that's going.
You know, I want to add to that. My only rule I will always advise the people who work with me to come back to is, how does it feel for you? You have the ability from your design to hold the space for how people feel.
Yeah.
And for them, it's a magical gift you can give to people. And you can be paid for that. Like, that's really something you can give. The only question is, as you are with the person or a group of people, and after, how do you feel? Because I'm not telling you don't use that. It's just by default, I just want you to be aware. It's not because someone feels something that you have to do something about it. It's because your energy is precious. And if afterwards you feel, oh, I don't know, I'm coming back to my family and I'm drained, or oh, this has just taken so much out of me, then that's the moment where you want to ask yourself, okay, was this right for me also?
Yeah.
And that's where you want to adjust. I'm not doing a rule of course,
No,
we are
no.
human, you know.
I think I understood you correctly, but it's eye-opening. It's really eye-opening to understand, well, this is especially this 7 from 9 of receiving, I'm like, oh, okay, I get it now. It makes sense.
Yeah, and exactly, you know, I talked just about the emotional center, but there is a center also dedicated more to the fears. And it's exactly what you said when you shared, oh, I didn't want to do the birth preparation because I didn't want to be stressed by others. There also, it's something you can learn with your conscious awareness, and the work you can do around that is, okay, this belongs to others. This is their fears, their stress, their pressure. It doesn't have to become mine, you know? It's exactly the same. I could give you many examples for all the centers. It's exactly that.
And this is interesting what you're saying, because I have the impression that being pregnant and having the children was kind of a survival mode, where it's like, now, I've done a lot, been very patient with some people and et cetera, and done a lot for others, but now it's kind of this survival, like my kids, my husband, of course, but this is the most important, and this is where there's going to be no compromise. And this is very interesting because I didn't understand that switch, but I guess that goes in that direction. So also, it's the moment where I started also in the corporate world to set my boundaries and say, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this because there's more important stuff in my life. And that's very interesting because it only happened then that I said, well, so exactly as you're saying, well, actually, that's their problem. And I know I tended to take problems of others and make them to mine. And it did help with the kids just because I didn't have time and because I had something more important going on, and where I realized at some point. So I wouldn't say I systematically do it in the way where you just taught me to. Does it belong to me? But I did start just because for survival, I did. You can't. You have a baby who has 40 degrees Celsius fever, and you're still being shouted out on the phone. Where it's like, and I actually cried, and I was like, but this is not normal. But you've just opened this to me, where I would should have thought, actually, he's projecting his stress and his fears. This doesn't belong to me, and I probably. I guess it's going getting in the automatism, what you just spoke about, and getting in this automatism of ask yourself, and then like probably something like take a deep breath in and think like this guy who's shouting at you, it's just his fears. Breathe out. That's his pack. And I guess I'm not doing that yet automatically. I've done a lot of progress. I think it's thanks to the kids. Because you just don't have time, right? But I guess that's a really good question to always ask myself, well, does this belong to me? Are they projecting their. A lot of the time, it's the pressure of the other people I used to take on.
Yeah,
For
that's
sure.
another, yeah, exactly. That's another center. It's called the root center in your design. And it's exactly that. I love to ask like the specific question for that center is when you feel pressure or, you know, suddenly you have a deadline, you need to finish something. It's like, is it mine or is it someone else's? It's a question that is also very eye-opening. I see that with people who have that in their design, where they're like, oh, suddenly, I don't know, my boss, a colleague, someone comes in the room and is like, how we need to finish that for tonight. And then suddenly it's like, okay. I need to like, and then you
Yeah.
move with the pressure from someone else. And then suddenly if you would stay, take a break, it's like, okay, that's his timing. Just if I take one, you know, I get one step back, I look at the project. Are we in rush? Does this really need to happen today? Maybe yes, maybe no. But just bringing a bit of breath, so that you move then back with what's your energy and what's really needed for the project. And I say when you're employed, but of course, when you have your own business and serve clients, it can be the same. So that's the example you gave. It's exactly the same. It's like, is this mine? What is really needed there? What's happening? And the automatism, that's if there would be one thing is really that for you to keep as. As you said, is this mind breathe in? And then as you breathe out, because I like the movement of the breath out, with my intention, I send it back either where it comes from or to source, to earth, whatever you want, to the ground. You decide what works for you. but I let it go out of my system. And with your intention, you can make things move. That's extremely powerful.
Yeah, I'm really hanging on to this question because I can't wait to test this out. I really want to be testing this out. I think it's very powerful in personal as well as a professional life. I see it, especially this pressure one. I think there is something there as well where you're like, oh, I should do this, and this constant having a bad conscience. And I'm guessing that's a good one for this as well, to say, okay, but why do you have a bad conscience? You know, what I'm seeing opening up right now after your latest comments and thoughts is, one thing is boundaries, the other thing is, well, if you get pressure for someone of the bad conscience, think about it. Exactly, you said, does it belong to me or not? Because what's important for you? Let's take the example of the kids, right? What's important, that what kind of activities they should have, it, etc. And at what point is it, no, that's actually the pressure from, I don't know, other parents who are doing like over the top stuff. We're thinking like, well, that's their problem, but I don't think my child is unhappy if they don't get party it, blah, 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 blah. I guess it's very liberating what you just said. Yeah, it's opening another perspective.
It's a good example. There is one other exercise I wanted to give you, and then something else I want to share about switching off. Because this is a word and desire you've expressed, you know, saying, like, how can I switch off? How can I switch off?
Yeah, yeah. That
many people who will listen will say, yes, please, please, I want this too. So I will work it through different levels. So there are moments you said it, you happily switch on, and that's the moment you love. And the moments when you want to switch off, of course, ask yourself, why do I want to switch off right now? Where it will never be possible to switch off is when something needs to be processed. Is it on the mental level, thoughts that need to be worked on? Is it on the emotional level? Because often we want to switch off when suddenly something starts to feel uncomfortable or too much or overwhelming. And here we need to be a bit more precise, go one step deeper and ask ourselves, okay, to give you an example, I remember, and I shared this on my social media, is I had an exchange with someone and it didn't end well, like it was written message, and then it kept on looping back, you know, the I should have said this, yeah. And yeah. It didn't mean that, it kept on coming back. And that's the moment where if you want to just switch off, it doesn't work, because your brain, yourself, is trying to solve the situation somehow. And there is always a solution. Like for me, to give the example really specifically, what helped me in that moment is to realize, okay, I am not perfect as a human being and I make mistakes. And yes, I should have said that, and this is okay. And that's, for example, a sentence, especially because many people also who are gifted are perfectionists and want things to be right. And
I was going to say, I can't accept that. I'm not at the level ever I can accept it.
Well, you cannot accept, but then it will keep on looping. And in the moment where...
No. I get what you're saying, but I'm still, it's like, it has to be perfect. And, you know, I nearly killed my wedding. And everything has to be like this, like that, like blah. I didn't enjoy my wedding. And I enjoy it in retrospective, but I didn't enjoy the day. In retrospect, like, it was the best, it was perfect, blah, but the day I didn't enjoy it.
Yeah. And you know, that's, so what is the behavior or the way of approaching it that is demanded for me to leave? And for me, in that specific example, it was to accept, okay, I'm not perfect. That's a sentence that has helped me a lot in that moment to bring peace in the situation. So it was not just switch off, but a switch turned, if I can say so, like it turned the situation so I could find peace. Exactly, the reframing that brought me the peace. And I'm giving several entry levels. So it's like, okay, when I want to switch off, why, what's happening, what is needed, until I find the solution so that I can bring more peace. Then there are the moments where, as you said, I receive so much, which is not necessarily needed. Like I'm checking on the other road, the car driving and the guys on the phone. And then you have multiple scenarios going on here. And that's an exercise. Just have fun with it. See what happens. I wrote the sentence is you can ask to yourself. Now, I don't know what will speak most to you. Is it like I ask to my soul, I ask to my system, however you want to say it, to receive only information for my highest good. So this sentence, I ask my system, I ask my soul to receive only information for my highest good. Because if at first I was like, as I heard you, I was like trying to formulate it and I was like to stop receiving information. I'm like, no, because maybe you want to see that driver who I don't know did that, but to receive only information for my highest good. And if it doesn't land for you, this specifically phrasing, you can rephrase it. But the idea is really setting the intention. And I say that also for, to give you an example, I feel everything people feel in their body. That's one of the ways I work as I support people. This is extremely helpful because I help them to really be connected to their body, release what's there. Like it's a beautiful gift. But of course, I don't want to feel when I'm in the street or drinking a coffee what everyone feels in their body. That would be overwhelming.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I close my system, and that's with my intention, and I set my system to, okay, now I don't want to receive this. I want to stay in my energy. And with my intention coming from my brain and letting it land, I can close and open doors. Sometimes it happens, like even I'm watching, I don't know, a video where an athlete did something, then oh, suddenly I feel the emotion, or I read a book, I feel the emotion, like I feel constantly. But if it feels too much, I stop the connection here. Like I stay for my highest good. In my energy.
I love, thank you. You know what? I love that. Thank you so much for sharing that and sharing how it works with you, because this has been very helpful. And the sentences, I think I'm going to stick it in the car.
Nice. So if, you know, I had to summarize is I understand, you know, the deep desire that you people who will listen, I also sometimes have of, okay, can I just stop this? Like, this is just too much. Instead of stop it, just go one level deeper to understand what's really needed. Is it mine? Is it not mine?
Yeah.
What do I need now that serves me? Is it more like disconnecting because this is not helpful for me, it doesn't belong to me? Everything I shared you through the session.
Yeah.
And if I can open also hope generally is, I really, many years ago, wasn't able to bring that level of peace in my thinking with my thoughts many years ago. And for all the work I did, everyone has their own tools. Like I know for some people, meditation helps, for them, it doesn't help. But for sure, all the work I did to connect to the body, I am now able to fully be connected to my body. And once I've done the work with the things that disturb me, of course, they need to be addressed. Once they're addressed, I can regularly practice and I can slow down my brain a lot. And that's something I've also monitored, like with things on my head, where you can really see the wave of the brain is like calming down and coming into that trance state. So like meditation, when I say trance, is in the sense of where in the waves of your brain and different way of consciousness. So I say that it's through practice, and that's a state that is magical. Like there is a sense of connection to your body, to something that is wider, broader, and that's a space which is recharging as well. And I'm not always in it for sure, but it's available. I like to say that because sometimes about giftedness, then everyone concludes things of, oh, this is not possible. And I'm like, switching off, your brain will always have this intensity. You can do the work so you are more in the positive side as you are experiencing it. And when as human being, we encounter these moments where it is overwhelming, it's too negative, then work with it and practice next to it the connection to the body in your own way. And some people will listen and say, oh, I get that when I'm running, for people who run a lot, or when I'm exercising, or when I'm swimming in the ocean, when I'm walking at the beach and feeling this temperature of the sand. You know, everyone has their own way to connect to it, but we want to create opportunities to be with that. And I know you have a very active life. You have 3 children, like that's a lot. And it can be in simple moments, like I'm washing the dishes. Can I hyper-focus, you know, using that power brain to sense the temperature of the water, the texture, like as a child who just came on the earth, be curious again about these things. And but from the sensation part, not just from the brain trying to figure out or thinking and imagining things, but I come back to having amazing curiosity for what I feel in the body. Because the body has a different tempo and rhythm than the mind. And that's where we have more peace and connection to our natural rhythm. That's why nature is amazing, because nature has this natural rhythm that we have in our body. It brings us back to.
That's incredible. You've just put your finger on it, because I can have this peace, this just breathing, just hearing the sea, or hearing there's nothing in the mountains. And I'm coming back to, this is where I resource myself. It has to do with the water. It has to do with the mountains because of the breathing. I wrote this down as number four, you see, from all you've said, as a conclusion of today. I wrote peace and connection with that example of water. And I'm guessing everyone knows what they react maybe more to. And I think that's a good way for me personally to start, is literally trying to consciously feel the water when I wash my hands on, because, well, you know, with kids, you have to do that 50 times a day. I'm taking this as a little takeaway on top of all what you said, because I think that's a brilliant addition. So thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome. How do you feel right now from our discussion?
I loved it. Honestly, it felt as if we were having a heart-to-heart conversation. Well, true and physically, so true it was, but, well, physically, you know what I mean. but it was absolutely wonderful to feel also across the screen's connection. So everything you've spoken about, it was wonderful also to just give examples, and you straight away knew what I was speaking about. It's so relieving to understand, well, to know you feel understood and you're not alone, and people believe you. I think this is, you know, people are like, ah, yeah, but that makes sense because da 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 da. And I think this is a very, very special moment. And it was fun. It was really fun. And I had the impression we were connecting these dots, and we were exactly in this where I give my energy. I felt like, ah, yeah, and this and this and this and this, you know, like kind of a sparing partner conversation. So that was absolutely amazing. This creativity, this bubbly that came out. And as to how I feel. So I don't know if this makes sense. I feel serene and energized. I don't know if that makes sense and if both work together, but I was really looking forward to our conversation. And it's not only been confirming some things, it's been giving me tools. And I think this is what's made it so amazing. Keeping up the positive, the energy, reinforcing that. And for the other side, giving you tools to like, hey, it's okay, and you're not perfect. And take this, take that. And giving you little tools so you can effectively integrate in your routine, even if everyone has so much stuff to do, but things that are realistic. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm so happy. Thank you so much for your words. And I confirm, because as I told you, like, I feel how people feel, and I feel the element was added of, yes, serenity, more peace, like your energy is more grounded, and there is more peace, more breath. For you to continue the day, you know.
Yeah, totally. That's exactly it. It's like energy and serenity. I don't dare say peace, because I think both of them just don't always match together. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much for sharing. I know many people will recognize themselves in the story you shared and the challenges. And I hope all of our exchanges serve them as well, I'm sure.
So do I. So do I. I hope a lot of people out there notice then that they're not alone. It's helping me. So I am hopeful that other people will also be relieved to know that there are maybe other people having these thoughts.
For sure. Most of the people will be able to sign and say, yes, I know this. Yes, I know this. And then everyone is different, you know. But yes, for sure.
Well, do let me know, because I'd be very interested to know that other people recognize themselves.
Yes, I invite clearly everyone listening to give the feedback. That's what I love also. It's like, how did it land for you? How do you experience it? That's the magic, also receiving the feedback of how it served others, for
Yeah.
sure.
Yeah, that would be great. So I'm looking forward to hear the feedback also from others.
Yeah. Thank you, Cécile. How was this coaching episode for you? How many times did you feel, oh, I know this so well, and I hope being happy for the tips I gave. Of course, hearing them is one thing. Implementing them is what will serve you most. And as Cécile shared with me, she would love to have feedback. I always love to have your feedback. How does it land for you? Do you have similar challenges? How do you deal with them? This is a space that is there to serve all of us best. So it's through your feedback, your sharing that I can share with her, with others, and we can support each other in the challenges we might encounter, you know, with this very sensible way of moving through the world and intensity of the brain. Around the topic of giftedness, I have many things I've created in French. I will also put the link, but if you speak English only, know that I have a blog, which is bilingual, where you can hear about people talking about their giftedness. As with this episode, I believe it's a very powerful way to hear someone else share about how they operate and not just me, you know, sharing things. That's why I created the blog originally, because when you hear someone else describing with their own words, there is always a facet that is mirrored. And sometimes people find the exact words for what you were having a hard time to describe. And when you read them, you feel less alone. So it's a magical library of experiences that you can dive into. I'll put the link in the show notes. And last but not least, I am organizing an online event where I will go deeper into this combination of your sensitivity, how to deal with it, and with your vitality, your energy. Because the topic we touched on is something many people come to me is, okay, I'm highly sensitive. How do I take care of my energy? What happens with my energy when it's lower, when it's higher? How can I support myself with the events of life, sometimes challenges, the relationship with others so that I can stay in my own energy and my own vitality while feeling everything? So I invite you to be curious, check in the show notes as I am creating this episode. I am parallelly already working on that online event. If you're interested, look in the show notes and I would love to have you join me. I wish you a beautiful day, night, or evening. Thank you for joining the Inner Space. Make sure to subscribe, leave a comment, or share it with someone who might need exactly this encouragement. And until next time, keep exploring your inner space, where authenticity sets you free.